This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a grateful heart to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. If you're listening to this show, I could guess that you're similar to me in how we roll through life, right? I have a career, I have a family, I have dogs that live with me, I have extended family, and I have a social life. And we have this wonderfully crazy world that we live in, and we try to juggle it all. Sometimes it's not easy. And staying balanced and focused can really be a challenge. This morning I pulled a card, a goddess card, and it was the goddess Shakti, who is all about balance, which I thought was perfect for the conversation that we're going to have today. My guest today is Dr. Jamie Kalaga, and I hope I pronounced that right. And Dr. Jamie has come up with an amazing guide called Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment. Me, I find that perfect because we are all searching for fulfillment and balance while we try to maneuver through everything that we throw at our lives. And I'm so excited to welcome you as a guest, Dr. Jamie.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And you said my last name perfectly. That's like one in a million. So congratulations. You've won a free book or something.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm going to even be a bigger winner today because I have a feeling that you're going to share some awesome insights onto, that super fulfillment, finding balance and a little equilibrium on this path of life that we're all trying to juggle.
Yes, yes, so true. So where do you want to start? Because we've got like 100 hours worth of content. So you pick something.
We're going to do a condensed version today. What I really want to know is, first, like, how did you get this way? How did you get to the path of writing this guide? Is it something that you experienced yourself?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, a lot of it was my clients in respect to I was coaching them on a national platform, and no matter where they were in the country, they all had one thing that they had in common, and that was that they wanted workshops on work-life balance. So I looked for them. I was looking in LA, I was looking in New York, I was looking in Miami, all these hotspots, and I couldn't find what they were looking for. So I decided to create what now we call the Superwoman workshops. And in these workshops, I was seeing them learn to say no without feeling guilty. They were forming lasting relationships. And at that point, I said, I need to bundle this. So I took my experience, both professionally and the struggling that I went through and the successes of the women, and then I bundled it into what we now have as the International Guide, the Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment.
Well, and you really hit on something there, you know, that guilt that comes along with, my friend calls it impeccable self-care. I think of it as impeccable soul care, really letting go of guilt and feelings of shame for wanting to be who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens is one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that women struggle, including myself, with saying no. Mm-hmm. We are people pleasers. So when I say yes to you, I've instantly satisfied something within me. I'm officially a people pleaser. You have a smile. Yes, one point for me. But then when I walk away, I'm walking away with more responsibility, more things on my plate that I can't deal with. When you say no, the payoff is in the end. So you haven't made the person happy, but you walk away with less responsibility. So when you say no to someone, it's important to realize if you want to get rid of the guilt that you don't have to say no and then throw your hand up in their face and walk away, but rather have some type of follow-up to that. Listen, you deserve 100% effort into this project. I can't give you that right now, and that's what you deserve. But I know that Heather over in, you know, Quad A over there has been dying for an opportunity like this. Maybe reach out to her. Or, here, I can't do that, but here are some resources for you to get started. And say no, but follow it up with something that you can give, and then that guilt will be reduced.
Well, and is there ever a time that you can say no and just say no without having to have that follow-up? And I mean, do you ever get to that point where you just say no without having to give something and without having to feel guilty about saying no?
I now can do that, but I say no and I follow it up with me being grateful for them reaching out to me. Because a lot of people, you know, I do appreciate when people come to me. So I do acknowledge that. So I personally do not say no and just dismiss the person. I say no and I decline in a respectful way. So I think that's a good way to go, because at the same time, you know, you don't want someone to be like, oh my God, what kind of person is that? You know, and we can't control that. That's the problem. So we can say no and not feel guilty, but you might also want to, you've earned credibility and you've earned your professionalism. So I would encourage you to follow it up with that you're grateful for the opportunity or thank you. But yeah, you can say no as long as you say like a thank you after it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, I have a 24-year-old, and every once in a while, she'll ask me something along those lines, you know, oh gosh, Mom, somebody asked me to do such and such, and I really, you know, I can't, I don't want to, whatever. And I'll say, you know, just say, hey, thank you so much for thinking of me. I just can't do it right now.
Perfect.
Exactly. You know, without having, and then you don't have to feel bad about it. So I love that you're, you know, kind of including, yes, you know, taking care of the reputation that the person has built themselves, but also not wanting to hurt anybody as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you find that, you know, that a lot of the guilt and the anguish and the lack of balance that we experience in our lives is because we are trying to accomplish so much and have unrealistic goals?
Yeah, I do think so to an extent. I think a lot of it, something interesting that I've noted through my research and then in my experience with women, is that we fear something. So the reason that we say yes to so many things is we fear losing an opportunity. We fear losing likability. It boils down to a fear of something. So when we're taking on little things all day, every day, it's really adding up and it's steering us off our goal path or the way that we're trying to live. So one of the things that not only in coaching sessions, but in the book, I tried to do like it's like a coaching session in a book. In chapter one, the most important thing to do is to identify your life roles. So I encourage everybody out there that's listening to grab a piece of paper and make a list of all of your life roles that you have. So it's not just going to be parent, spouse, employee, but think about everything you do. Maybe you're the dog walker, the family CPA, the laundry doer, the grocery shopper, the PTA president. Whatever you are, create an entire list of that. The average person has between 15 to 25 life roles. Then I challenge you to circle the top five, and those are the five that you have to give 100% dedicated time to. That doesn't mean that you blow off all of your other responsibilities, but rather, let's say your children were on your life roles. When you're with your children, you're with your children. You're giving dedicated quality time that they see as valuable. So you're not sitting there on your computer or on your phone for 4 hours hanging out with them. Rather, for 30 minutes, you're on the floor playing Thomas the Train, giving them that quality time. And that way, when you can identify your life roles as other opportunities or other things come into play during the day, you know what you want to say yes to and what you want to say no to, because everything is in line with those priorities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And when we circle those top five roles, we can begin to maybe delegate or find, now I don't want to say less value in the other work, but we can kind of delegate the roles that aren't in line with those top five. goals.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And there's a real value in delegating out. So many times, and this is kind of going off on a tangent regarding perfectionism right now, but so many times we hold others, not just ourselves, but others to this perfectionism standard. I can't delegate it out because he won't do it just like I did, or she won't do it like I always do it. So you find yourself overwhelmed with all these small tasks that really your support systems around you would be happy to help you with. So I encourage people to go ahead and delegate things out. Don't hold people to that perfectionism standard. Allow them to learn. Allow them to help you. Perfectionism is very subjective. So what is perfect to you is not perfect to me. So go ahead and start taking things off your plate and trusting people. You want people to trust you. Stop controlling, stop micromanaging, and go ahead and get some stuff off your plate.
Boy, isn't that the truth, though? I remember even when I was beginning in the corporate world 20, 30 years ago, I remember that I really had a difficult time delegating tasks. I had to do everything. I had to do everything at the corporate world. I had to do everything at home. I just had to do it all because nobody did it the way I did. And I remember that light bulb coming on saying, wait a minute. First of all, I'm exhausting myself and I'm not going to be good to anybody if I'm exhausting myself. I hope you cover that because that to me is like putting on your oxygen mask first, right?
Yes.
You exhaust yourself when you try to do all of these things.
Exactly. And a lot of it, you know, when you were talking about your 24-year-old, is your 24-year-old a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Okay, perfect. So that's a perfect age, even a little bit younger, to start instilling these types of values in. Because one of the things that I've noticed with the younger crowd, and this happened to me, is that society is great at we're in our 20s, we're going from 0 to 60, we're graduating college, we're getting a career, we're getting married, we're starting to have kids, and everyone around us is so proud of us. They're like, wow, look at her, the superwoman, new baby, nursing at work, juggling all
Yes,
me too. And so initially, it was fun playing house. I enjoyed, oh my God, I have a baby on the way in the wedding, and I'm like, you know, I felt like putting on like a 60s poodle skirt or something and like serving dinner. I mean, yes. I felt like I was just so amazing, and everyone was telling me how amazing and how super I was. And then I began becoming the superwoman. And I liked it for a while, but then after, you know, 3 years of everything, 5 years of everything, 10 years of everything, your body starts draining. And now you find that you're just chasing living up to this superwoman title that you've been given. Wow, she can take on everything and more and more and more, and she's still great. And then you start drowning. And then that's when you start losing your fulfillment, and you find that everything that you're doing, you're sacrificing for everybody else. And then you look back and you're like, wow, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't hit the gym. And okay, you know, I really didn't want to stay in this job for that long. And then you're just going along saying all of these sacrifices and things that you've given up. And so it's just very important to teach your daughter, like what you're teaching her is it's okay to say no. It's okay, because instilling that at a smaller level is really going to help when she is deemed the superwoman as she starts moving on in her life. So it'll be great that she'll be able to say, I can't do that right now. No, I can't. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think we've got to be cautious with that.
I look at that as my life goal. One of my life goals, right, is to empower her to realize she can have a fulfilling life and not be uber stressed out about it. So listeners, I'm chatting with Dr. Jamie Kalaga, and we are talking about her international work and her guide on the Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment, right? We all want to be Superwoman. One question that I really keeps coming up for me is, do women even know that they're overachievers and that they're really struggling to find this balance, or are we kind of on automatic pilot?
I think that we do know. I think we know we're struggling. I think we know we're drowning. I think all of us have gone in the bathroom and closed the door and cried and felt like we're having a breakdown. I don't think we know how to get through it. And that's why I try to create the guide in how to respectfully say no when you need to, or what to do to free up time. You know, one of the things is that I write in the book is rid of toxic people. You know, that's a great tip for someone that knows that they're overwhelmed and doesn't know where to get their time back. Negative people, people that plant seeds of doubt in your head, people, the negative Nancys that consume your time with drama and gossip, those are the people that are just sucking your energy and making you feel depleted. Go ahead and create a list of these people that you have in your life and then either delete them completely or start setting strong boundaries with them. So I think to answer your question in short, yes, we do know that we're overwhelmed. It's just that we don't know how to handle it or manage it.
Yeah, I agree more. And I love that tip. That is one of my favorite tips is to get rid of the drama in your life. You know, show up and let whatever's for your highest good be present, not the negativity and the drama.
Yeah.
And surround yourself with positive people, with like-minded people that can help you really find more of an attachment, more of a deeper meaning and fulfillment.
Yeah, and there, I mean, what's worse than you finally getting the guts or finally finding the time to go for your goals? You've got a plan, you're ready for action, and then the people around you are like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be really worth your time. You know, I don't know, you need to think about this better. Or are you sure that that's really what you want to do? You know, and those people that plant those types of seeds are the ones that have deterred you from dreams you've had all along. Mm-hmm. So really set boundaries or rid of them.
And what about even the negative self-talk and the shoulds and the coulds and the didn'ts?
Yes.
And the wouldn'ts and all of that?
Oh, those are killer. Yes. There is actually a great quote by Lisa M. Hayes, and she says something along the lines of, be careful how you talk to yourself because you're listening. And I think that is so powerful, because when you say, oh, man, I should have done it like this. Oh, I could have done that. Oh, why didn't I take that route home? What is wrong with me? All day, you are literally brainwashing yourself into decreasing your confidence, because look at all the things you've done wrong all day, the things you should have done or could have done, and those words also provoke anxiety. So you're creating this decrease in confidence, you're creating this increase in anxiety, and that's why we live our lives in this self-doubt. So I challenge everybody out there today to just go ahead and listen to how you talk to yourself. Just kind of be aware of it, because we never really stop to say, what did I just say to myself? Think about it and see how many times you put yourself down or you say, shoulda, coulda, woulda, all day long. It's going to be numerous times. And then I encourage you to start challenging that and cutting that thinking out.
And is there an easy, I don't know, trigger or tool that we can use to cut that out? You know, like, are there, I don't know, affirmations or anything that we can do to kind of counteract that?
Well, we've spent years creating this negative self-talk, so we're really in a habit of it. So can I give you a quick fix? No. But what I do challenge you to do is slowly reprogram yourself. So for every time you catch a shoulda, coulda, woulda, or something negative, like, wow, I look so ugly, or oh my God, dude, this is horrible on me, or whenever you say something negative, you have to counter it with something positive immediately. And so just keep trying to change the way that you're thinking, because we need to bring it to awareness, and then we need to go ahead and change the habit. So
another thing that you talk
great.
About in the book is the bucket list challenge, and how it's like super important to start beginning to do those things now. What is the bucket list challenge, and why is it such a priority?
Okay, so well, a bucket list, something many of us are familiar with. It's all these things that you want to do before you kick the can. But the problem with the bucket list is that everyone has turned it into, like, this travel list. So it's usually, yeah, like, I want to get my PhD, and then I want to travel to, like, 700 different islands, and they list them all out. Well, right, that's great, but not all of us are billionaires, and we can travel full-time for the rest of our lives to all these tropical islands. So what I do is encourage you to come back down from the billionaire mentality and live your normal life. So what are things that you could do this weekend that are on your bucket list? Maybe you've wanted to try horseback riding. Maybe you've wanted to try paddle boarding. You know, maybe there's a park that you've always wanted to have a picnic with the family at this particular park. Whatever it might be, those are the things that need to go on your bucket list. So put the MBA and the PhD, put a couple islands, but that's the extent of the travel. You don't need to go crazy with it. Do realistic things that you can start doing once a month or quarterly or at least twice a year at the absolute minimum. So really making your bucket list more realistic, things you can really do.
One of my favorite commercials right now is Subaru. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a Subaru commercial, and it's a young guy and a dog, and he's basically created a bucket list that his dog might perceive.
Yes.
And he crosses it off, like, eat a bone on the beach at sunset. And, you know, see the girl I saw at the dog park 3 weeks ago. It's just really cute. But that really makes it more like a realistic perspective. You want to do things, I guess, that, first of all, are more obtainable and easy to scratch off, but also might have, you know, some kind of deeper meaning to them.
Yes, it's going to spark some passion in your current life. It's great that you want to go to France and you're going to go within the next 5 years, but what about the next 5 years? Why can't we add excitement or sparks of life and passion and little things that are going to add fulfillment to your life between now and 5 years down the road? You know, let's get excited about life today. Let's look forward to something this weekend. That's sort of where the bucket list needs to go.
Well, you know, that's definitely my husband and I. We like to travel. We like to hike. And, you know, we plan for these long-term trips. And yet we still talk about, well, you know, there's a park about 3 miles from here that we can go on a weekend hike. There's another park about 45 minutes from here that we can take the dogs to, so that we can at least experience that that human companionship in doing something instead of always longing for something else.
Exactly. And you're building a bond with him. Every weekend that you go, you know, a few miles away or whatever, and you do these picnics and these hikes with him, you're building a bond that's so good for and healthy for your relationship. Can you imagine if you guys only really did things together every 3 years? You know, we got to keep saving. We got to keep working. And then every 3 years we can go on vacation. You're going to lose that connection that you have to each other.
Yeah, and isn't that really what is part of our major fulfillment is our connection to other human beings, other lives. I don't even want to say just human beings, because obviously my connection to my dogs is deeply intense. You know, I can't imagine my life without them. But that's what we long for, is human companionship.
Yep, we do. Absolutely. And I'm assuming that your husband would be one of your top life roles. So by you being able to, right, so by you spending time with him every week, you're strengthening that connection, you're strengthening that life role, and the more that the top five life roles are in balance, the more in balance everything else in your life will be. Can you imagine if you and your husband are sleeping on separate rooms, you're fighting, you don't even want to talk to each other, you're so upset, that throws your balance off for everything else you have going on in your life. So those five roles, you really want to make sure you have a strong connection with on a daily basis.
Yeah, I really love that idea. I love that concept of really becoming aware of what my top five roles are. I mean, I think I do know what they are, but really making time that when I'm in those roles, to be in those roles. You know, it's being present and being mindful.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Jamie, we're down to the wire here. Listeners, you can find all of Dr. Jamie's information on the Soulful Living page. here at Empower Radio. You'll find the information on her work, her book, workshops that she's got coming up, and anything else that you need to be able to connect with her. And Dr. Jamie, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your wealth of wisdom. I cannot wait to dive further into that book. And I love my guests to leave the listeners with something juicy that they can take out into the day to really help them elevate their soul, find more fulfillment. What would that be for you?
I think today it's going to be a little activity, and I would really like you to take a moment to identify your top five life roles, and then when you do, pick one and make sure that you're present in the moment with that particular life role when you're with them today.
I love that, and I'm really excited about really paying attention to my top five life roles. So I thank you for being here. Listeners, again, you'll find all of Dr. Jamie's information on the Soulful Living page. Thank you, Dr. Jamie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.